Well, welcome everybody to today's edition of Wise Lives. I'm really excited that my friend David is here with me today. We're going to be talking about church planting, but perhaps not in the kind of traditional sense that you and I might have thought about church planting in years gone by. The reason I wanted to talk to you today, David, hello, I should say hello first of all.
Hello everyone.
Hello. The reason I wanted to talk to you and pick your brains was because you, your wife, your family have pioneered church in a new way, in an unusual way, perhaps in your own locality, in the small kind of area where you live. You've created a sense of community. People have come to faith. People perhaps from other faiths have heard about Jesus for the first time. So it's been exciting. It's been inventive, innovative. And I'd love to hear that story. So, first of all, David, just tell us a little bit about who you are, how it is that you came to be in England, and a little bit of the backstory.
Thank you, Nick. Yeah. Thank you so much for this opportunity. So, a little bit about myself. I'm from Argentina. My wife and I moved into England in 2014 because we felt a call from God to come here because God loved this nation so much. We didn't understand it at the beginning. I signed in for what I thought it was a Bible college, but because we moved in January and I had to wait to September, I remember I was a bit antsy. I wanted to do things, and Glenda told me once I got my national insurance, why don't you get a temporary job? And I did, and I went to work in a warehouse in Leicestershire. And that experience was life-changing because I noticed how hard it is to live with £6.50 the hour at that time, minimum salary, and how people were struggling with life. And then I kind of, God was showing me, this is the England I'm calling you to, and I want you to live among the English, to get to know them a bit closer. So I didn't go to the Bible college at that time. I got another job, I'm moving and dwell. So I learned the way of incarnation. That mission was about also being incarnated and learn to live with the people that you were called to. And that was fantastic. Soon after that, the well started, and I started with the well. It was a great journey there. And we moved to Sheffield, to a particular neighborhood called Apethorpe. And we were leading a young family missional community or community at that time. But by getting to know people through my daughter's school and through neighbors and just talking to people, God is starting to bring something of his love for the locality, as you were calling it, for the people that live around me. And it's a very international neighborhood, yeah. Very exciting, very thrilling, lots of stories to share. So we were sharing stories, and that's how, in a sense, this started. Our hearts started to itch on how we can share God's story, God's life, and also the beautiful community we have as being part of his church to them. And I realized that it was a bit difficult to bring them to the activities that were going around here in Ecclesall Road in the Wells church life, because they were unfamiliar with church, and some people have a wrong impression of church as well.
So let's just talk about that. So you're the neighborhood Upperthorpe, Netherthorpe around there, it's kind of interesting, it's really multicultural, isn't it? I suppose it's in a city, but it's not the worst or the most deprived area of the city, but it's there are tower blocks, and there's a level of deprivation as well as a level of, there's also people like university students who live there, lots of international students maybe coming for 1 or 2 years. So it's a really fun place. There's a bit of grass, isn't there? There's a big space, the pond, goodness knows why it's called it, but it's called the Ponderosa. There's a couple of little kind of Anglican churches that have been there for many, many years pressing in. And that's where you guys chose to live. And so you kind of got this heart for literally the physical surroundings and the international mix of people around. And I love the fact that you're already describing a missionary heart, yeah. You know, regardless of the fact that, you know, you both have jobs, professional jobs, you saw yourselves as missionaries in your hearts. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So in a sense, we always felt that the call from God, as he loves this nation, and we were tapping into God's heart, and that continued to grow up. We continued to meet more people. So, and I know Holy Spirit sometimes interrupts and does miraculous thing, and we need to pray to see that.
Yeah.
But we particularly felt a call to bring the church to the people there. people that were unfamiliar with church, and it was very difficult to bring them to us.
We decided,
oh, let's go to them and meet them where they are and share with them.
That's amazing. So what is it? What do you mean when you say bring the church? What do you mean? What does the church look like in that case?
Okay, church in that case looks very different. And we were exploring at that time what will it look like. But we felt that we needed to share with people where they were. So I quit my job in 2018, in October 2018, to kind of dedicate full time to, I was doing studying, but particularly about discerning and tapping into what God was already doing. So how it will look like, one thing is tapping into what God is already doing.
Right.
That's one thing. The other thing we learn is that we were going to where people were and meeting them where they are. And that's the language I kind of use. And then share stories. And while sharing stories and sharing our life as well, we were sharing Jesus and the great things about Jesus. It's the main thing of our life with other people. And that was fantastic. And then we also understand that not just incarnation and relational, but it's also transformational. And we call it that journey together. And that is what you describe as forming communities as well, learning to grow together and learn from one another, but learn particularly from God and hear God's voice. But that kind of came later on.
Yeah.
But that's how we describe what church will look like over there.
I'd love it if every church looked like that, actually. So what you've said is incarnational, in other words, living it out in our authentic selves. What does it look like to be followers of Jesus ourselves and to embody into in action to live out faith, which might be supernatural, it might be just social, it might be, you know, making a difference locally. I know you guys have done things like you've helped to run kids clubs and that sort of stuff. So incarnational, relational, which are, you know, getting on and building friendships and crossing boundaries, and transformational. I love that. Mm-hmm. I honestly think that's a great description of church. So what did you actually do? I mean, so you're there in a neighborhood. What did you do?
So more or less, let me go tell you some stories of that time, 2018, 2019. I chat with you, Nick, and Marjorie, and other people here, which encouraged us, Glenda and I, to start this. So we let go of some of the ministries that we were doing here at the at the Well. That is important because we our heart and our focus was over there.
Yeah, I think that's actually a really important thing to say and to acknowledge that it's okay to do that, isn't it? Mm. People will serve in organized central church like the Well on Ecclesall Road is, but if things start to happen and if God starts to move and, you know, you see fruit around you, go do that. I always try and release people to do that. Yeah.
And I remember that 2019, I was meeting with lots of Muslim neighbors, and which became friends. We were eating on the floor, delicious food. It was fantastic. They would always invite us to eat at their place. So great. free great food.
Brilliant.
That was fantastic. And one of the stories, I mean, I was invited a couple of times to the mosque, the local mosque there, and in one of the days they did an event on Isa in the Quran.
So just for those people, what does that mean?
Jesus, the Muslim community there wanted to show how Jesus also integrate with their life, and they have some banners and stand, and they were telling me about Jesus in the Quran.
So Isa is the name for Jesus in the Quran. Yeah,
exactly. And one of the moment they started saying, oh, because Christian believe this and that, and I'm a Christian. Would you like to ask me what we believe? And they say yes. So by sharing together, I was able to share to people what the Christian believe about Jesus in the Bible and through our life and discernment. So that was fantastic, and that was inside
the mosque. Yeah, yeah.
And then there was the call for prayer, and so we could sit beside. And I asked one of the person organizing there, can I pray? It's going to be preaching prayer in the name of Jesus, but I'm going to do it silently here while you pray. Yeah, that's all right. And I remember that when I was praying, God was telling me, I love them. I love them. I love them. I was watching the Muslim community there joining in for prayers, and God saying, I love them.
Yeah.
And that was, again, heartbreaking in the sense that my heart was opening up and growing with God's love. I was invited to Ramadan as well. Great experience. Yes, my neighbor that invited me sat at the front, and I arrived a little bit late, so I had to go in front of everybody and sit at the front. But it was fantastic, and that's more or less how this vision was formed. We envision people together from every nation and tongue, every age, every educational background, worshiping together God through Jesus in the spirit.
So that's the vision that you were kind of forming from God for what might be coming, what you might be about.
And that vision keep us going, is the vision that encourages us. Like, I then stole a phrase from Gustavo Gutierrez, Peruvian theologian. He says that we are one people journeying together through Christ in the spirit towards the Father and his kingdom. That sort of circles a bit of what we were called to do, and that multi everything that was going on there, and how we learn together and we share, but it's in the spirit through Christ towards the Father.
Very Trinitarian, very good.
So yes, that's a bit of part of the story. In July 2019, as you said, that vision was formed. I told here you, Nick, at the well, and other people, and in the service, all the church prayed for us and kind of sent us off. We were always connected with the well during that time, but it was a sort of a commissioning to our.
Yeah, I think it was really beautiful, and we nobody kind of knew what it was going to become. I think we called it like a missionary initiative, or, you know, just gave it a broad kind of description. But basically, you guys were saying, well, listen, there's something's going on here. We feel called to our neighborhood. We've got one or two people who might come with us, who might live locally. Will you bless us to go? And of course. And so we continued. I think what the church, the kind of central gathered church, could do was pray and keep you in our hearts and minds. And we offered bits and bobs like finance. It didn't actually turn out to cost you very much, I don't think, to do what you guys did. You know, so it's the kind of like, how can we actually, as a central gathered church, how do we support mission on the fringes of or beyond what we as a church can reach? So I think it was, you know, we prayed, off you went. Tell us what happened next.
What happened next? One thing I want to mention, and also an organization called Big Life. I met Peter Dunn a few months after that, and he also helped me give a bit of shape and language to what was going on. They call it Making Disciples That Make Disciples. So if you want to check on Big Dog Life, you'll find more information about that.
Excellent.
Peter Dunn also became my mentor later on. And yeah, what happened next? We are already in late 2019. We were meeting together, meeting people where they were, but we were sharing together and started to journey together. And then pandemic hit. But before that, I can tell some stories. There was a Chinese student, a PhD student, that came around, and he was curious. Just curiosity, and he met a community of people living together, already sharing together, and he loved that. And he returned to China within 7 months after we met him. But I remember his prayer was from the heart, and in a for him was difficult English, and then he went to China, started looking for a church, and he contacted me, and he said, oh, church is here. They don't pray from the heart, and they don't read the Bible the way you read it, like exploring it and trying to hear God from it. And I said, well, God, you can continue to do that. So I still in contact with him.
Oh, that's cool.
There's a couple of Middle Eastern guys that are through time together, through just journeying and chatting. They were part of the community and sharing food. We did many meetings during the pandemic in the park.
Yes, because you had to be outside.
Yeah. Yes, the park was our ally, we did it in groups of six, or sometimes outside with the fire pit.
Great.
No, that was fantastic. We still managed to meet, and it was a lot of one-to-one as well. And these guys were telling me lately how they came to this understanding of how much God loves them and through Jesus, and how important it's in their life, and now how they live their life for Jesus.
Wow.
And another story, for example, just the last one there. This one, somebody from the well said, oh, there's a Cuban guy that moved into your neighborhood, still in the pandemic. Maybe you want to contact him. And I did, because he went through a disease. He has cancer. I only could meet him one-to-one. And we were sharing life, and I was sharing my life and sharing Jesus. And he knew about it from previous experience in life. And one day in August, he said, "Can you please come home, David?" And I did. And he said, "I want to be baptized."
Wow.
I feel from God, I need to give my whole heart, wow, life to him, my whole heart to him. And so he was. So yes, that was part of the journey there. There was pandemic changed a bit of things. I can talk about that later. But in last year, people journeying together decided, what are we? And what do you think you are? And we are a church.
Yeah.
And that's an identity was formed. We are a church, Oikos Community Church. That's the name was chosen.
So that's that sense of, we have something in common. We're going on a common journey together. We've got a shared vision or kind of sense from God. And so at the end of the day, you look at it, people are coming to faith. You're reading the Bible. You're eating together, praying together. Sometimes it's inside. Sometimes it's outside. Put it all together and you get a definition of church. Completely different from what some other churches look like in the city. But that's the kingdom of God, isn't it?
Yeah.
I love that.
No buildings, no programs. Things change all the time. But a lot of eating together.
Yeah.
And that's fantastic. And a lot of meeting together around a table. But a lot of Bible and discovering the Bible together and hearing from God together.
And I think I think that's been something that you've been really keen on, isn't it? Because the Argentinians love their community. You love your barbecues. You'll never fail to gather people. But the question, I think, for you as a missionary-minded person was, how do we actually bring faith into the relationship? And you guys have faithfully, ensured that the Bible is involved, that Jesus is mentioned and so on. Because it would be easy not to when you're making new friends or you're just wanting to eat together. Tell us, David, about some of the challenges as well. Because it can't have been easy the whole time.
No, it wasn't easy. As I said, one of the first challenges we faced was the pandemic. So that changed a bit. We were meeting people in their houses, eating with Muslim neighbors, for example. That had to stop.
Yeah.
We can only journey them with the people that were already understanding themselves of being part of the community, people that we already started to journey with. That journey grew, so that sort of what is called discipleship and living together, that grew during the pandemic. It grew a lot,
right,
on that sense of community. But it meant that the meeting people where they were, that kind of stopped. And then Glenda, during the sort of windows, she did things with kids, a kids club, but for the community. And that were how we managed to continue to meet other people.
Right. So you just had to be inventive about how to create those opportunities to meet people. Okay.
Yeah. So, and a lot of time at the park, which is great, by the way. One of the biggest challenges during the pandemic, some Christians because the local church was, they were not meeting together.
Yeah.
They wanted to meet us. They saw us at the park and meet and join the community and the life. And that was great. And we felt that, in a sense, sun grows and there was a lot of encouragement and people coming. But they had other heart and other intentions. And so when the pandemic stopped, they started their thing, which is great. And I love that could start it, but it created a hurt because there was a mix of identity on it, kind of, no, we are not you, and we are this thing. So it broke a little bit the sense of the wider community that we were bringing together. And that was kind of discerning as well, intentions at that time. We were like welcoming everybody, and these were not the people that we were called to.
Right. So can you, just for 60 seconds, can you unpack that? So how did you respond to that? So did it help you to be more focused about vision and kind of what you were about?
In a sense, this happened after the pandemic was over, because these people started another thing.
Yeah.
That brought the question of identity to the table.
To you guys, yeah.
So for us, we discovered the importance of identity within all that, because we were just a community.
Yeah.
Meeting together, and there was kind of no boundary. It was very fluid, and I think that's great because it allowed us to go everywhere, but it creates that sort of misunderstandings as well.
I think that's it. It's a journey, isn't it? The more you dig into something, the more sure you can actually be of, yeah, this is who we are, this is what we're called to. And sometimes you need to draw those lines. I suppose that's the leadership lesson, isn't it? And you actually said, well, actually, this is who we are, which means that what you guys are doing is great, but it's not what we're doing. And we bless you, and we go in different directions. You have to do that sometimes in leadership, yeah.
Other challenges when compared with the disciple-making movement in other parts of the world, here in England, you need to encourage people to build communities outside their comfort zone sometimes, to spend time with other people, to share with. And that's part of it's a challenge. You had to encourage people to get outside their box
right.
at time. And the other one is encourage people to be disciple makers as well.
Yes.
That is, so there's a journey in discovering that they are followers of Christ, that they have a lot to share from what they already experienced. So that is a lot of encouragement that needed to happen there.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, at the end of the day, that, you know, that's the definition of church as well. It's not just a community or even an incarnational, relational, transformational community, as you say. It's a community of people who are disciples who seek to raise new disciples who'll do the same and the same and the same. And that's how it passes on. And you've tried to do that with people from different cultures. And it's interesting that you're saying one of the challenges is actually the British culture needed a bit of a shake up to be willing. I mean, we can be a shy nation. And that's a really interesting observation. Can you give us one example about how you've helped that to happen, how you've kind of prodded people into action?
Well, we do it by modeling and mentioning those words. It did happen during the certain windows in the pandemic. We were meeting and we decided, okay, think on the people that you have around you and start sharing the Bible with them. And some did. One person was baptized.
Come on.
Through that, glory to God. And this was a teenager who wanted to share with one of her friends in school.
Come on. So that's great leadership again, David. Thank you. Modeling it and talking about it a lot, basically, to shift the mindsets. Brilliant. So what about biggest kind of success or fun or learning, or just what will you take away from this?
Okay, a biggest learning. First of all, mission is about tapping into what God is already doing and God's heart, and kind of be open to this big, great God's heart, and trying to tap into that God's heart and let it flow. It's about God, it's not about us. And that was for me very difficult because I have this mindset, I need to do things, and it's not, God is already doing things. You need to join what God is doing. So there is no sense on trying to rush things
yes.
or do things by ourselves when God is not there. So more is being open to God's heart, trying to fill our heart, and then be faithful. And that's something that everybody can do, not just church planters. God is calling us to a particular place and role. First of all, be attentive and open to God's heart, and then be faithful.
Yeah.
The other thing is for us as church planters, partner with the other churches in the city.
Yeah.
The world was particularly a good example of that. But we have a model of church. It's not that we want to convince everybody to do the same thing. But the church is more beautiful when everybody tap in what they are called. So, and we can partner together, we can have a wider sense of what is being the body of Christ, what is being church.
Yeah,
so
love that.
And for other people that are not church planters, we can say the same thing. Try to be part of the wider picture. God is calling you to a particular thing, but it's calling your brother, your sister to another thing. So if you can tap in and celebrate that as well, you kind of embrace that bigger picture, which is the image of
the tapestry
Christ.
Of the body of Christ in the city of Sheffield. Love it, David. Thank you. That's so encouraging and really interesting as well. The last thing I'd love to do for Wise Lives, would you pray for us? Would you pray for something of that passion and that missionary heart and the actually pray that we do it, that we put some of this stuff into action in our own lives? I'd love it if you do that.
God, that so loved this nation, that so loved the world, give us more of your love. God, that is full of faith, is faithful, and decided to work through broken people like me. Keep on pouring this faith in other people so that people can tap into the faith you got in them. God of hope, keep of bringing this picture of fullness of the kingdom into our life, so that we can join you and celebrate being part of your people, the holy nation, which is set apart to proclaim the virtues of the one who called us out of darkness into light. So I pray, Lord, that you will bless all the people listening and all the people in this nation, Lord, as you have this great love, faith, and hope for this nation. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. David, thank you. We bless you. It's been great to spend time with you. And maybe you'll come back sometime and tell us what the next chapter in your missionary journey looks like.
We'd love to do that.
All right. Bless you and see you soon.